The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, a pediatric neurosurgeon for over 35 years is concerned about the direction America is headed.
The power to change things is within our hands. Freedom is not free. There's a cost for freedom, and it requires people to stand up for what they believe in.
Dr. Ben Carson explains what we can all do to save America's future as one nation.
Robinson, Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Dr. Ben Carson is with us, and he's written a book, One Nation, the subheading, What We Can All Do to Save America's Future. And that's not like you're putting America in some idolatrous position. God forbid that. It's just that this nation has been especially blessed because this nation understood some foundation principles upon which they would build a secure future, opportunities beyond imagination, and bless the nations of the world. It was a result of faith that our freedom was born. And this incredibly gifted doctor believes that. He cares about the nation, and we are thrilled to have Dr. Ben Carson here. Would you welcome him to Life Today? Back again. Glad to see you, buddy. You know, every time I see you, you're so kind, and we've been together quite a bit. You ever get ticked off?
It's pretty difficult to tick me off because I learned when I was a teenager to step outside of the center of the circle and let it be about somebody else and not about me. Mm. And even when I'm faced with some of the most despicable human beings, I just look at them. And I say, that used to be a cute little baby.
Oh. All right. Now, I can assure you, and you know Betty and me, and I know you and Candy, and this studio, I believe, is filled with people who are deeply concerned about the United States of America, about our perilous course, about the loss of that which is precious. I think if we could put it in New Testament biblical terms, it seems that that which is precious is being trampled under the feet of men. The preciousness of life, the preciousness of marriage, the preciousness of family, yes, of opportunity and the work ethic and personal responsibility and accountability. The opportunity to learn, to study, to show ourselves approved. All these things are being cast aside, and it's as though the whole nation is being brought into some form of bondage to where everybody seems to be dragged into the place of common misery. And it's almost as though they've been drugged or duped or dumbed up or something to where they have bought into the lie. And there's some of us that are concerned about it, mm-hmm, and I think you are. Do you agree this is kind of where we're headed, well, and we better get something to change?
The reason that I wrote this book along with my wife, Candy, is to address some of the very things that you just mentioned. The fact of the matter is this country is actually full of people with common sense who think logically. It's just that they've been beaten into submission. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, instead of expressing themselves, they're like looking around and let's see, is anybody going to hear this? You know, am I going to get in trouble? Am I going to lose my job? Is the IRS going to audit me? Is somebody going to call me a horrible name? And, you know, Thomas Jefferson, I think, said it best. He said, when the government is feared by the people, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. And what we have to do is bring liberty back to this country. And it means that people themselves have to get energized and recognize that they are at the pinnacle of power. But in order to exercise that power, they must be informed. You know, most people, they go in a voting booth, they're looking for a D, an R, or a name that looks familiar. The name could be Satan. They say, oh yeah, I know that name. In some cases it is, but you know, and that's problematic because, you know, people just keep doing the same mindless thing, putting the same people in who have no interest whatsoever in their constituents. And what people have to learn how to do is look and see how those people who represent you voted. Did they vote to give away your rights and continue to expand the government? Did they vote to continue to raise the debt ceiling and put your children and your grandchildren in jeopardy? And if they did, you need to vote them out of office. Absolutely. It's as simple as that. And you know, when we learn that, that's what it means when it says the government should fear the people. And when you talk about fear, you're not talking about, you know, being frightened to the point where you can't act. But it's sort of like the fear of God. You respect, you treasure, and you hold up high what those individuals feel. And this is supposed to be a country that's for of and by the people, not for of and by the government. But the only people who can make that happen are us. And it requires courage.
You can't believe how many times ministers like myself are threatened. We would be threatened by some say, well, you better not have Dr. Carson on your program because he talks about issues. Well, you know, he talks about political issues, and that's not politically correct. And especially for churches to ever talk about. In other words, if it's an issue that's ever been dragged in the political arena, like marriage, like morality, like sex, don't talk about it. In other words, rip it out of the Bible. Just shred the Bible apart, tear them out, and just hold up a tattered Bible, and don't preach it. That's what you do. That's basically what Uncle Sam mm-hmm. is saying to us, what the government's saying. I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of listening to it. I'm sorry, I'm not as calm as you. But I want to tell you, I just really, this is what preachers are hearing, Ben. It's right. what they're hearing all the time.
No, I know. And look at our universities today. I mean, universities, the places that are supposed to be the bastion of intellectual thought, mm-hmm. of argument, and looking at things from different points of views. What are they doing? If that person doesn't toe the line, we don't want to hear from them. Mm-hmm. Our students cannot hear from them. We believe in freedom of speech, but only if you agree with us. I mean, that is so absurd at a university. And now that has spread into the community, particularly the secular progressives. Not only do they not want to hear from you themselves, they don't want anybody else to hear from you. If you have a business, they want to destroy it. They want to destroy your reputation. Where did this meanness come from? This incredible intolerance. And do you hear the media ever talking about it? Of course not, because they're part of it. That's the problem.
One thing that is really sad to me, though, that a lot of Christians have just basically washed their hands. They said, well, America's just gone too far. I just give up. I'm just going to sit and wait for Jesus to come back. And don't take up that responsibility that we have as Christians.
Absolutely. And that is a problem. I mean, I hear a lot of people say it, particularly elderly people have told me they've given up and they're just waiting to die. But, you know, the fact of the matter is the power to change things is within our hands. Freedom is not free. There's a cost for freedom, and it requires people to stand up for what they believe in. And, you know, I'm going to say something that will get the left wing all riled up, okay? But in Nazi Germany, most of those people did not believe in what Hitler was doing. But did they stand up? Did they say anything? They did not. And look what happened. Now, I'll just preempt the left who'll say, Carson said America is like Nazi Germany. No, that's not what I said. What I said is people must learn to stand up for what they believe in. Courage is an essential part of freedom.
Well, you know, if you believe the Bible, then there are principalities and powers in the realm of darkness, deception, and destruction. Just like there is power in light and life and truth, and truth makes us free. The enemy is deceiving people, and he is destroying the very essence of life. We are destroying the most innocent life. Here's what I believe you make very clear in your book, because you touch on the basic issues. I personally am convicted and convinced that if we elect someone who does not want to protect precious life, innocent life in the womb, right, that person is not only not thinking straight, they're going to be incapable of hearing the wisdom that comes from above and being directed by divine providence if they have cast aside the divine. If they disregard the first institution, even before the church, of marriage between a man and a woman, and try to redefine it and change the truth of God into a lie and take the natural into what is against nature and discard that, I don't believe those leaders are capable of leading a nation out of the depravity and the debt and the defeat that we're experiencing. Would you agree with that?
That would certainly not be someone that I would want leading our nation. However,
But that's the people who are leading it.
Yeah. But I have to add one quick caveat, and that is, if we're in a situation, for instance, we're having a primary race, and we have two conservatives, and the one wins that perhaps didn't have that agreement, but on 95% of the other things did agree with you, I think it's a mistake to take your marbles and go home.
Yes. I agree with
because
that.
Because then it's basically a vote for the other guy.
Right, but we'll go work on that guy in the other area.
Right.
Because he's not going to keep thinking straight.
Oh, no.
We're not going to leave him out to wander around.
The way I put it is, there's a boat, and it's about to sail off of Niagara Falls, and everybody's going to be the killed. And we got all these people leaning over the side rail saying, but there's a barnacle on the side. Get that barnacle. We got to get that barnacle. And they spend all their time getting that barnacle. In the meantime, the ship goes off. Okay. We got to turn the ship around. And then, let's get the barnacles off. We can polish it up. We can put all kind of brass fixtures on it. But let's turn it around first.
And I agree with that. I just think we have to make the point, though. Once we're depraved in our thinking, and our thinking is twisted to where we devalue that which God values, I think we're headed for a rapid descent.
I agree with you.
Into destruction.
Absolutely.
And defeat. Now, you've got a chapter here called Enslaving Our Children, Don't Sell the Future. Does that have anything to do with economics?
It has a lot to do with economics because, you know, we have such a tremendous and growing national debt. We're at $17.5 trillion now. Well on our way to $18 trillion. And every time I write about this, you know, it's another number. It just keeps going up and up and up. And, you know, some of the people in the government say, well, you know, it's not going up quite as fast, so this is a victory. Give me a break. you know, this is absurd. Now, that number, $17 trillion, is so large that if you try to pay it back at a rate of $1 billion a day, it would take you 47 years. A billion. I mean, do you know how much a billion is? I mean, that is ridiculous. Try $10 million a day. Maybe more people can deal with that. At $10 million a day, it would take you 4,700 years. So, I mean, these are unimaginable numbers. The only reason we can have a debt of that nature is because we can print money. The only reason we can print money is because the U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world. A status that normally goes with the number one economy in the world, which we became in the 1870s. We're going to lose that designation later this year to China because of our incredibly sluggish growth that's been going on for the last few years. And the policies that we have show no promise of it ever getting any better unless we do something
different.
And those
policies are government policies.
They are
regulations
government
that are crippling business and crippling what is referred to as the middle class, which is most of America, and keeping them from advancing. And we're targeting the people who do create wealth, who are going to know how to protect it because they're smart enough to do it. They're not public enemy number one.
Right.
They actually are the ones who can help us create. And we want to say to the wealth creators, do more of your own focusing on the needs of people, too, not just on how you can be successful in your entrepreneurial gifts and skills. Do you believe that you would recommend that people try to find those who are running for office who believe in a government that's limited and under control? and not out of control, that begins to deal with debt, even takes a hard look at taxation, looks at really revamping and correcting a tragic health, approach that's been taken that is, do you believe is going to be catastrophic in the end?
Well, if we continue down this road with this health care plan, absolutely. This is anything but affordable.
And you say this as a medical doctor.
I say that as a medical
doctor. It's not affordable to anybody.
No, it isn't. And of course it's going to be a disaster. But of course, so many people will be engaged in it at that time that the government will say, well, we can just move to a single payer system. We can do that fairly rapidly, you know, somewhat like the VA system. And with all these layers of bureaucrats between the patient and the care provider. And that's disastrous. No question.
Do you believe if people would get this book, One Nation, they would have some insight and some wisdom in how they consider leadership and the future?
I think so. The reason we wrote that book is to help people to wake up before it's too late. And at the end of each chapter, there are four action steps, things that you, the individual American, can do because we're all involved in this. This is our country. This is not the government's country. It belongs to us. They work for us. We don't work for them. But somehow they've beaten us into submission. And, you know, we're just kind of, oh, whatever, I'll go along to get along. We no longer need to do that. That's what I'm writing this book, to make people know that we are in charge. And we must take command of our nation. And if we don't, we have no one to blame but ourselves.
This book is in the bookstores. I encourage you to get it. I will send it to you today. If you would just simply assist us in putting some shoes on some little feet to keep them from getting diseases, a simple love gesture. I believe that Dr. Ben Carson is a man sent by God, from God, for such a time as this. Do you agree with that? And would you say thank you, Dr. Carson? Betty and I love you. We count you and Candy as dear friends thank and you. People we admire as anyone we know. We have indescribable appreciation for you. We're praying for God to direct every step of your lives for His glory and His purpose. He is a man God sent to us. Do you know what I think? I think He is the answer to the prayers of millions of people, just like my wife, Betty, who has prayed and prayed. She said, James, I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a grandmother, I'm a homemaker, but I am so concerned about our grandchildren and their children and the future. The blessings that we have known, we are watching them disappear. And it is as though the church is asleep. And Christians who are supposed to be salt and light could illuminate the day and impact everything for the glory of God.
Amen.
Join us again saying thank you, God, for Ben Carson. And Ben, thank you. We're going to talk to Ben tomorrow with his wife, Candy, and you don't want to miss that. Ben, one of the things that we do, and I know how much it means to you and to Candy and to those on your staff who have loved Life Outreach and what we do, we're going to look in and see an opportunity to express the very heart of God in a visible, special, and very meaningful way. Watch this.
If there's one thing mothers around the world pray for above all else, it's the health of their children. And with everything these children are exposed to, that can be a tall order. This year you may have partnered with Life Outreach out of compassion to take care of some basic needs, like clean drinking water and a daily bowl of food. But have you ever thought about the dangers children face every day simply from being children? With poverty as the deciding factor in what these mothers can provide for their children, a pair of shoes is a necessity that many children will never have. This coming Christmas season, we'd like to do something special for these children and give them a pair of shoes of their very own. These shoes will not only protect their feet from injury and disease, but will be a treasured possession that will remind them of God's love.
Would you help us put shoes on little feet like this, or perhaps a child that's a little older? These are very durable shoes. Matter of fact, when you buy this type of shoe in the store, they cost you quite a bit, but these shoes we're able to get for $3.60 each. That's because someone who cared made it possible to create the shoes just for this express reason. Here is a little shoe that is a Christmas ornament that some of our staff several years ago said, why don't we do that for Christmas shoes and smiles for people who will put this on the tree to just think about praying for little children and blessing them with shoes and smiles, because we do cleft palate surgery too as a Christmas gift. We raise the funds way ahead of time because we need to get the money to buy the shoes. We're asking God to let us give $200,000 in specific places where the missionaries have shown us a need. And you can rest assured, Betty, in those areas, the hearts will be open to receive the gospel, because they have seen the gospel demonstrated. If you would help us give these shoes, think about it, $360 a pair, $36. We've got 10 pairs of shoes for 10 children. I don't think there are very many people watching anywhere in the world who couldn't do that. Would you simply go to your computer or iPad or wherever you go and go online, lifetoday.org, or go to the telephone. Would you do that right now? And just dial the number you see there on the screen. Take your bank card and use it like a check. And make the largest gift you can. Think about this. $144 will give 40 children a pair of shoes. Would you do that? And then, Betty, one of the greatest things that we've ever been able to see are little children that had their face disfigured or cleft palate, and do the surgery and give them a smile. We can do those surgeries for $500 each. Could you give a surgery or maybe two surgeries? Would you give shoes and smiles for Christmas? That's what we're asking you to do. We're going to send you the little shoe ornament to put on your tree, and you can tell people what you're doing. They will likely want to be involved in the future in the outreaches of life. We'll send all four of the shoes we've had over the last years as a collection for those of you who will give a gift of $100 or more. Betty, I can't imagine anybody watching that wouldn't want to give a child a smile or shoes for Christmas.
Well, you know, I couldn't help but smile as I watched those children when we put the shoes on their feet. How precious are the feet of these children. As we watched it for the first time, they've never had shoes before, but not probably fully understanding why we're giving the shoes, but we know to protect their feet from disease that can get into their bodies and ultimately kill some of them. So please join with us. Let's put shoes on their feet and smiles on their faces. That would be a joy to us, along with being a help to them.
Would you go to the phone right now, please, and take your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use those cards. If you want to write a check, make it to Life. But call the number and tell us what you're mailing, because we have to let the missionaries know, yes, the shoes are coming, because we've got them from our friends who want to share life every day. Thank you for doing that. Or remember, you can go online, lifetoday.org. Thank you so much for reaching out and touching someone with the very love of God.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help Life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pair. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. With your gift of any amount, be sure to request this beautifully crafted red antique shoe ornament, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a special boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments from past years. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request our commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I've been talking about the reasons why these children need shoes on their feet, and part of it has been, you know, watching all the dirt and the feces that they're having to step on every day when they have cuts under the soles of their feet. But what I didn't realize is as they're walking these dirt roads that have almost turned into rock, it's like walking on blazing fire. So if you find it in your heart this day, if you're as moved as I am seeing the conditions that these kids are living in, will you pick up the phone, dial Life Outreach International, go online? Whether it's a big gift or a small gift, God sees it, He uses it. And not only that, not only for these three little ones, but we want to put 200,000 pairs of shoes on the feet of children, not only in Central America, but all over the world. And we can only do that if you find it in your heart to give. So join us, join Life Outreach International, and be a blessing.
But I hope you will make the gift God put on your heart. And Betty and I say thank you in behalf of the children you bless and their families, especially those mothers. If you'd like to have Dr. Ben Carson's book, I'd be happy to send it to you. You make a gift, we're going to bless you. And I promise you, if you get the insights and inspiration, like I said, it's written by a brilliant man, but he wrote it where all of us could comprehend it, because God knows we need that comprehension. We need understanding of the times, that we not perish for lack of knowledge or inspiration. This is a man God has sent to help us and bless us. Be happy to send you the book. It's in the bookstores. Encourage your friends to get it and pray that God will heal our land. Join us again saying thanks to Dr. Ben Carson. Look forward to talking to you tomorrow with Candy.
Okay.
Remember, Candy's going to be with us tomorrow, and Dr. Carson. So you'll meet the better half, all right? Bless you.
I wish I could do more for Life Outreach International, but I'm saving for retirement.
We have a plan that can help you do both. Contact Life Planning Services today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.